continue with Nehemiah. There goes my bookmarks. So, last week, and I don't have a slide for the recap, but last week we had a look at Nehemiah chapters 1 and 2. And we were introduced, we've kind of come in mid-story for the people of Israel and Judah, for the Jewish people. We've come in mid-story because the story really starts back in Ezra, and there's this pattern that happens throughout both Ezra and Nehemiah of the people coming to the Lord, doing the right things, falling down, following other gods, God getting a little bit cross, sending them into exile, they come back again, and there's a rebuild. And so this happens a number of times. In Nehemiah 1 and 2, we were introduced to the southern kingdom, and that's the Judea, so not the northern group of Jews who were named Israel at the time. So this is when the kingdom had split to north and south, and we were looking at the Judean people who had settled in Jerusalem and then been exiled for 70 years, care of the Babylonians, and were then prompted, even in Ezra, to return. We saw a rebuild in Ezra of the temple. We saw people coming back, a very small remnant of people, about 50,000 out of millions. And that there was favour with this new king of Persia. And Nehemiah, who had heard of the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem and had a heart for God's people, he says, "This can't be. What do I do?" He spent 4 months praying and fasting and listening to the Lord, and he heard and then had the opportunity to voice to the king that he really wanted to go back and rebuild the walls. And he had such favour with the king that the king said, sure, so this is the enemy of his people, the enemy says, sure, I'll pay for it. Here's all the wood you want from my forest. Here's the free passage so you don't get annihilated on the way. Off you go. Here's some people to travel with. So off they went. And at the end of chapter 2, Nehemiah states to his people, he's done a bit of reconnaissance, he states to his people, we need to rebuild. And that's where we left off. So, chapter 3 is quite a boring chapter when you read it at face value. It's a lot of names, it's a lot of people, where they're from, what they're like, and where they're building. And as John said to me earlier, when we got to about the 75th gate, I was really bored. Yes. However, I want to draw your attention to some things. So, oh no, that's okay. That's number two. This was for people who may not have been here last week. I've included the image of Jerusalem, the one on the left. And you can see the big wall around the temple with the gold dome. And you can see the wall coming down the page and across to the left there. That's a portion of what we see of Jerusalem these days. And that lower wall actually cuts off a lot of, during King Hezekiah's time, King David, King Solomon, they had this extra portion of wall down the bottom that included, so you see the image on the right, it's now got the Temple Mount, Herod's Palace and so forth in it, but prior it also included Hezekiah's water tunnel, the Pool of Siloam and the Gihon Spring. All of that was walled in down to the south. It no longer is, but I wanted to give you the idea of This is how it is now. What have we got in the next image there? Okay, the who's who. It may be boring to read, but they're there for a purpose. They're there for us to understand something. And so I'm going to share with you what I have understood in my recent readings of this passage. First of all, we have Eliashib, the high priest. He gets together with the priests and they start to build the sheep gate, which is right at the very top. So, some priests. We have a bunch of individuals. They're listed as the son of this person, the son of that person, of this tribe. We have whole tribes of people. We have people like the Tekoites, who, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, forgive me if I'm not. We have whole tribes. Okay, this particular tribe, the Tekoites, they all got in. They all said, we are all in, except for their nobles. The people who were well-to-do and, you know, probably dressed very smartly, even though they were in a suffering space, they refused to join God's work. We have a goldsmith. We have a perfumer. We have men who were rulers of entire districts and people who were men who were rulers of parts of districts within Jerusalem. I wanted to draw your attention to this different group of people because it fascinates me how different they are. These are people of the religious order. These are people who have everyday day jobs. Goldsmith. A perfumer. People that did pretty important jobs back then. But they work with fine things, delicate things. They were individuals who otherwise probably would not have had name in the Bible. But they stood up to be counted and said, I'm in. Everyday people. The next one. Now, as it lists these people in chapter 3, and this, I think, is why chapter 3 is really quite a long chapter to read, it identifies where each person or people group was building. So if you can see, this is quite a zoomed out image. Thank you to Martin Young, who drew this image based on what he has read. And he's noted here all these red marks around the wall. They're the verses in the Bible you'll find in chapter 3, the different people groups building. Nick, if you go to the next one, I've zoomed in just a little bit. So we have the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate. It identifies where the artificial pool is that is named at one verse. The valley gate, the tower of ovens, the great projecting tower. At each of these points, there's another group of people working to rebuild the wall or the gate or the tower at that market. There's a lot of them. That's a large expanse of wall that needs rebuilding. Right up around the temple, right down around the spring. So, what were they doing? What jobs did they have to do? All right, these everyday, ordinary people who have suffered a bit, they've been in exile, their families have been in exile for a long time. Many of them, perhaps, were even born in exile. They have returned to this place that is a rubble and mess of what their families would have told them about from King Hezekiah's time, what an amazing place that would have been. They've come in to rebuild. Well, some of the jobs that they had were bringing in the beams and laying the beams for the door surrounds, the various parts, building doors, setting the doors in place, the bolts and bars that needed to be put in. And there's what's called the burden bearers. These burden bearers were part of the stone moving team. They moved the rubble out the way, they brought the stones back in for relaying. Now, I don't know about you, but as someone who's been in the teaching profession for a little while, I'm no expert on any of those. I feel like a goldsmith probably wouldn't be either, nor a perfumer, and perhaps none of the other guys either. A priest, I highly doubt, is well-versed with building a door. And yet, repeatedly throughout chapter 3, it's telling us this group of people went and built this part of the wall. This group of people did this door, this gate, and laid the bolts. I think there's something in that for us. So they knew the enormity of the task that lay ahead of them. At the end of chapter 2, when Nehemiah stood up and says, guys, we can't live like this anymore. We need to rebuild the wall. Who's in? They didn't say yes willy-nilly. They understood the enormity of this task. But they also understood that they needed to take responsibility for their little patch. When they were assigned a patch to rebuild, they took responsibility for it. And so, I've listed a couple of questions here for you. If you were to be listed in chapter 3, who would you be? We had this great activity at Alpha the other week, where we had to associate our name with a description. So one of them, and I love this, Saucy Sue.
Oh.
Saucy Sue would build the sheep gate. Who would you be? How would you be listed? Melanie, a teacher, built this little patch between this gate and this gate. When you've got an idea of who you are and how you might have been described, let's apply it to today. What are you called to do? What little patch are you responsible for right now that God's saying, I want you working on this little bit with me? Because I guarantee you there's a patch that you're responsible for. Because there's a patch that only you have got access to. You have particular people around you that you have conversations with, that you demonstrate the love of the Lord to. Now I ask this last question, are you willing, not just of you, because this is a challenge for me too. I have a patch in cafes. And am I willing? Sometimes I see people across the way at the cafe and I see things. God shows me little bits and prompts me, go and ask this person about this. And I go, ugh. It petrifies me. Am I willing to be responsible for the patch that I'm in? Am I willing to get up and walk across the room and ask this person? What is it for you? And so we get to the end of this long list of who's who and doing what. And we get to chapter 4, where these guys, they've been working hard at it. Working, 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 working. And right at the very beginning of chapter 4, we hear that this same guy, now let me get his name right, Sanballat and Tobiah, the Horonite and the Ammonite. So these guys who, they come from different tribes, different people groups, they're not part of the Jewish people. They have been long-term enemies as people groups against the Jewish people. When the Jews were led into the Promised Land and they took over that little patch of Jerusalem, all right, in that area, these tribes were the tribes that surrounded them that had a bone to pick with them. They've always had a bone to pick with them. They still have a bone to pick with them because they are now under the rulership of the king of Persia and they're happy to serve him. They don't want the Jews going and doing their own thing. So, of course, they're questioning, oh, are you guys rising up against the king? Is that what you're doing? We're watching you. We don't want you building this wall. We don't want you having your patch back. It suits us just fine that you're not here bothering us. So they get ridiculed and told this is not going to happen. Your work's weak, I hate to tell you, but by the way, any animal who comes across and just scampers across your little stones here, the stones are just going to fall back down again. That's how weak you guys are. And they endured this day after day, these guys jeering at them and mocking them because they're everyday people trying to build the impossible. They didn't just let it go. They didn't hear it and go, oh, you know what, they're right. We're not very good at this. Oh yeah, I'm not very experienced. You're right. They didn't let it go, but they took it to the Lord in prayer. They prayed against it. They went into battle. God, you see these people. You see what they're saying against your people. You see what they're saying against what you have asked us to do. You spoke to Nehemiah. We trust you've spoken to him. We're following him. So deal with those people. They're your problem, Lord. We're going to keep building. So they prayed and they took action. And I've put up there a couple of verses, Thessalonians 3:3 and Ephesians 6:13, because I think when we get into even the smallest of moments where someone says, yeah, you know what, you don't do it that way, how easy is it for us to immediately feel downtrodden or to feel, oh, yeah, I've been corrected, but I haven't been corrected perhaps in love. Maybe I've received it in a way that it wasn't meant to be received. But the Lord is faithful and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. If you have set your mind to do a task that the Lord has called you to do, he will be the one to protect you against all evil. And I've put Ephesians 6:13 in the easy to read version because I read it in many other versions and it takes a moment to process. This one, again, super easy. That's why you need to get on God's full armour. Then on the day of evil, you'll be able to stand strong. And when you finish the whole fight, you'll still be standing. So, the Jewish people pressed onwards and they completed the wall to half height. They were still vulnerable. So the wall is now in place. It says it was connected at every point. So the weak points were getting reduced and reduced, and Sanballat did not like that very much, because now it's getting harder and harder to threaten these people because their wall is going up. The wall has been joined. The doors may not be in, and the wall may not be finished. But they're vulnerable because they've got three whole people groups out there threatening them. And not just with words. They're starting to plan these plots where they're saying, yeah, you know what, we're just going to come in and annihilate you. We've got our swords. We're just going to come in and kill you. So, they prayed and they listened carefully and they watched. Now, have I got the image there? No, okay, that's right, we'll leave it there. So at this point, they're incredibly vulnerable. They've got people coming at them on all sides. I'm sure you know what that feels like sometimes. They're praying about it, but then they've got their own people, Jewish people, who are saying, you know what, this is useless. This is useless. We're never going to finish. They started doubting. Their own people are telling them how useless this is. You need to just stop building now. I want to share with you a friend's wisdom. This friend, and I'm never going to say it as eloquently as she did, because she had this gorgeous Scottish accent, and so I just can't say it the way she did. It was beautiful. However, wisdom nonetheless. She said, when you have made a decision, when you are of sound mind, that is emotionally stable, thought about it, prayed about it, you are of sound mind and you make a decision. In a time that is more easy to make that decision. Do not later change your decision when your emotions are running high and the situation is tough. Hold to your original plan, trust, and pray. That is, don't let your emotions and your current situation change what you decided when you're of sound mind. Because when you make a decision of sound mind, you know what's ahead. These guys said, yes, I'm into building the wall. They knew what was ahead. They knew the hard labor they were entering. They knew they had opposition. Don't change your mind. You stick at it and you let God fight with you. Pray, 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 pray. And so in verse 14 it says, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight. Now our fight may not be physical like it was for Nehemiah's friends and family, but we certainly fight for our family, for our friends, for our workplaces, for our towns. And so, I am going to read you from chapter 4, verse 15. When our enemies heard that it was known to us, that is, the plans of the enemy were known, and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction. The other half held spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens, the rock carriers, were loaded in such a way that each laboured on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Sorry, I've jumped down a couple of rows there. Each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. So these guys not only are continuing to build, right? They're carrying stones. Now, again, I don't know, have I got, no, I don't. Oh, good. I'm sure I might have lost it. There's an image in here of the gate to show the size of the rocks that were used. These guys are carrying massive stones, massive chunks of wood. They've got it in one hand. So there's a nice little, what's that, Pulsar? Something like that. It's a little car. It's not very big. For size comparison, those stones are ginormous. That door is ginormous. They've got the items they're carrying in one hand and they've got a sword in the other. So while their own people are saying, you guys are weak, you're all tired, you're suffering, like why are you bothering? They've stepped it up a notch. Now these guys are ready for war whilst they build. They didn't reduce the load, they increased it. What do we do when things come against us? It's so super easy to walk away and go, oh, you know what, well, not today then. I won't worry about pressing into that for today. I'm just going to take a rest. Not a moment did these guys rest. They, in fact, then said, everybody, Nehemiah says, guys, you've got to come inside the walls to sleep at night. You are going to sleep fully clothed, with your armor at hand, your swords at hand, so that by night, you're our defense mechanism, and by day, you're building on the wall. They were ready at any moment to go into battle, to stand for what it was that God had called them to do. Do we armor up and pray when things get a little tricky, or do we walk away and find another way to do things? Are we prepared even in the night time to be called to battle for the good of others? How many of you get those random wake-up calls? I know I have had months and months in a row where I wake up at the same time every night. I'm like, hello, Lord, what do you want me to do? Who am I praying for tonight? Interceding for different people all the time. God says, it's your turn. I want you to armor up. Get your sword out. Let's go to battle. Are you willing to be used in that way? And so now I've got questions here, but I think they're up here. Yes. In your battle to build, whatever it is that God's called you to build, whether it's something personal in your life that he's just asking you to plot away at, whether it's something that you're doing in community with others, what patch are you called to build? And I would suggest there's probably lots of little patches. You've probably got a personal patch, something very personal just for you that God's calling you to work on just for you. And you've probably got a patch that you're called on to work with other people. Who are you building with? Who's on your left and who's on your right? Chapter 3 is all about that, the who's who. This person was here, to their left was this person, to their right was that person. Who are you building with so that you know who you're looking for to be a part of defending, of warning, of checking, making sure that their back is covered? Who are you building with so that you know who to call over and say, yo, I need hand. Come on over, would you pray with me? Because I'm suffering today. Would you help me carry my load? Now, these two are a little bit harsher questions, but I'm asking them because I ask these of myself too. What does your prayer life look like? Especially when things get hard. And maybe especially when things are looking good. And what does your obedience look like? If you've been called to build something and you said, yeah, sure, I'm in, and things start to get hard, what does your obedience look like in the midst of the hardship? Are you going back to prayer? Are you listening again? Are you waiting for revelations from God to be able to say, okay, I'm stuck in this space, I'm still doing this, but Lord, you're at work there. I'm going to leave you to that. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, thank you that you call us each to build something with you, that is your absolute joy to partner with us. That Jesus, you left your spirit here for each and every one, that we have the joy of being in relationship with you, that we can hear from you ourselves. We don't have to go to anybody else to hear, but you can speak directly to us and we can hear you. And Lord, thank you that you are faithful to protect us. When you've called us to something, Father, thank you that we need to not be afraid of the enemy, but rather we can lie down and rest, because that's what you ask us to do, you invite us to. A peace beyond all understanding. So, Father, whatever the peace is for each person in this room today, whatever it is that you're speaking to them about, whether it's knowing what it is they're building with you, who it is that they're doing it with, whether it's just returning to chat with you, to pray, to listen. Father, would you continue to prompt us in those things this week? As we head into a fresh week of new challenges and new joys, new obstacles, and new exciting things to share. Lord, would you keep our eyes on you and what it is that we need to continue building with you? In Jesus' name.